Today's commemoration of all the faithful departed falling on a Sunday is a bit of an interesting situation in our church calendar. Of course, normally the Solemnity of All the Saints, which we celebrated yesterday, is a great solemnity and a holy day of obligation, and then not too many people often come to the day after the commemoration of all the faithful departed or All Souls. So on one hand, it is a little bit awkward to celebrate a Mass for the dead on the day of the resurrection, on Sunday. On the other hand, it is an opportunity for us to reflect on this and to experience what is ultimately a funeral Mass in the church on a Sunday that perhaps not too many of us get to do throughout the rest of the year. So I thought I would take this homily today to focus a little bit then on All Saints yesterday and All Souls today, and kind of in the middle to insert a little bit unexpected, perhaps, the fact that 2 days ago was also Reformation Day, the anniversary of the day that Martin Luther famously began the Protestant Reformation by nailing his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. So, putting those three together then, first looking at the saints. They are the ones that hold out for us victory, what it looks like to be a winner in this great life of faith. Now, I'll kind of use sports, I think, as a little context for my reflections today, because I love sports, and I love the references to sports in Scripture. St. Paul is very big about reminding us that life is a race, it's a competition. We might look at sports and say, well, it's a little out of control the way we kind of worship athletes in sports. But I think there's something there that hits very deeply about the way God made us, particularly this idea of competing and that there are winners and losers. It's a real competition. In the end, someone is going to win and someone is going to lose. I saw an article in the paper the other day that it was a little football team of 8-year-olds, and the football team was doing very well. They were up like 27-0 or something. Everyone can relate to that situation where it's kind of a blowout. But unfortunately, what happened was the team that was winning was on defense, and one of the little 8-year-olds on defense, he intercepted the pass in football, and so he ran it back for a touchdown, which is every little 8-year-old's, especially defensive player's, dream to do. Just one problem. In this league, the league had a rule against being ahead by more than 30 points. So unfortunately, his scoring the touchdown got his team fined $500, and his coach was suspended for the next game for unsportsmanlike conduct in running up the score. Now you try and tell a little 8-year-old who just intercepted the ball, no, stop, fall down, drop it. You know, it's not going to happen. He wants to win. I think we can look at that article and say there's something very wrong about that. It's not the way sports work. They're winners and they're losers. I think what they're trying to do is try to say that winning is good, but losing is very, very bad. It might be very bad for the little kids that they would lose by so much, so we'll protect them somehow from being a loser. Well, problem is, losing is important. To some extent, we really can't understand how amazing it is to win unless it's tempered by just how bad it is to lose. Now, I am from Kansas City. I'm here living, studying at Catholic U, studying canon law. And some of you might have noticed our baseball team did pretty well this year. You might have even noticed, too, that some of the stories rightly point out it's been 29 years since the Kansas City Royals were ever in the postseason. Since the Royals were last in the postseason, every NBA team had gone to the playoffs, every NFL team had gone to the playoffs, every NHL team had gone to the playoffs, and yes, every other Major League Baseball team had been to the playoffs, but not the Kansas City Royals. To some extent, we could say, in Kansas City, we know what it means to be a loser. We were losers for a very, very, very long time. The only hope we had every year was we hope we will not lose more than 100 games this year out of the 162. But we came. We love our baseball team. And so imagine the excitement. And for the friars in the monastery here, they don't have to imagine. They heard me screaming as I watched the game. Imagine our beloved Kansas City Royals, the losers of losers in the World Series. Now, that's amazing because the Nationals had an amazing year. They were one of the best teams in baseball, and they weren't there. They were feeling very much the pain of having lost. The Kansas City Royals, however, kept winning and winning and winning. It was amazing. It changed our city. It was party like it's 1985 all over Kansas City. Part of this was because we had known what it means to lose and how bad it feels to be a loser. And finally, we were one of the winners. Now, sadly, in the end, we lost. Winning run 90 feet away from home plate in Game 7 of the World Series. It doesn't get any closer than that, but unfortunately, we still lost. Now, you might say that, well, hey, the Kansas City Royals are in the World Series for the first time in 29 years. We should be really happy. And maybe in a few weeks, I'll be able to be really happy. But at the time, I was pretty depressed. It was really hard to get up and go to class the next day because in the end, we were still losers. We lost the last game and it was so close. It's important, I think, that we understand that winning has to mean something because losing is a real possibility and it's no fun to lose. Father Ed asked me right before Mass, knowing my Royals devotion, he's like, well, I hope in Kansas City you guys still had a parade. Nope, no parade. We had a parade in 85 when we won it all. We did not win. We were losers again in the end, so there's no parade. We had a celebration at the stadium, but one day we will have the parade because we will actually win. We're not going to have the other team lie down for us so we can win. It will mean something when we win. Now, that's sports, and maybe we can relate to that, but as I said, I think this hits something very deep in our human psyche that we are made to be winners. To be real winners, not to have something handed to us. But that's why we admire the saints. We look at them and we say, wow, look at what they did. They were faced with incredible obstacles. And yet they were victorious. They suffered in all kinds of ways that we did and far worse. And look at that. They were victorious. They won. No one handed them victory. They had to actually fight. Their love of God was on display for all of us to see. And we admire that and are inspired by it. They are, in a sense, the hall of fame of this great competition in life. And so rightly, we hold them up and we say, you want to know how to get through that difficulty here in life? Well, look at the saints. They did it. It's that inspiration that keeps us saying, we'll get them next time. We can keep going. One day, the Royals will win the World Series again. We will be on top if we just keep going and the saints inspire us. But what about those of us who maybe aren't in the World Series? Maybe, you know, we're kind of the players that, you know, we play a good game, but, you know, we're not any standout. No one's going to canonize us or put us in the Hall of Fame. What about us? If we have to be a winner, what if it seems like we lose a lot? I know I read that first reading today, the souls of the just are in the hands of God. Now, that's meant to be pretty consoling to us. Problem is, I read that, the souls of the just are in the hands of God, and I think, yeah, that makes sense, but what if we're not so just? You know, what if I look at St. Therese, and sure, she's just, and yet St. Therese is always complaining, oh, I'm such a miserable little sinner. I'm like, well, if St. Therese of Lisieux is a miserable little sinner, I'm like, where does that leave me? What hope is there for me, who's not the all-star player, and he sits the bench most of the time and strikes out a lot? I think a lot of us can relate more to that sometimes than we can the saints. And to some extent, then, this day is for us. While, yes, God has made us to be winners, to be victorious, some of us in this life are going to fall a little bit short of the full victory of the World Series. You know, we fight a good fight here and there, but we lose a lot of battles, and yeah, we keep going. These are the just, holy souls that God promises he's not going to lose. But yet, what do we do with us who have not won the big one yet, and yet we want to be in heaven? Well, fortunately for us, God has a plan that is not available in sports. God really does want us to be winners. One of the things you could do with the fact that we might lose in life is that, well, we can kind of pretend that it's not possible to lose in life. We could pretend that, well, just everybody wins. And that's a very tempting kind of thing. I mentioned Reformation Day, October 31st. Lots of people know about Martin Luther and Protestantism, but you have to really understand the man, Martin Luther, to understand what led to this. One of the things that people might know about Protestantism is one of the fundamental beliefs is the surety of salvation. After you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, there is nothing you can do to lose your salvation. Of course, in Catholicism, we rightly teach that that's not true. We really do have to, as St. Paul says, work out our salvation. We really can turn our backs on God. Well, what did this unsurety then lead Luther to do? Well, he created this doctrine of eternal security. He essentially said, everyone automatically ends up a winner. You accept Jesus and you can't lose. Well, his famous example of this then was to say that we essentially are big losers. We are, in his words, a big pile of manure. But we can have hope because God in his mercy will take us as our big pile of manure that we are, and he will cover us in beautiful white snow. Okay, we could say then, well, God looks at us and he doesn't see manure. He sees beautiful white snow. Problem is, underneath the beautiful white snow, we're still a big pile of manure. We're not really winners. We're still no good losers that God almost just kind of agrees to look the other way and says, when I look at you, I'll pretend you're not a loser. I'll pretend you're a winner. This is like I remember in T-ball as a little kid. You know, we went out one season and we lost every single game. And in the end of the season, here's a trophy, a nice little trophy with a little baseball guy on it. And, you know, good job. You finished the season. Well, I, of course, took that trophy home and did what any respectable little kid would do. I threw it in the trash. Like I'm going to sit and look at a trophy all year to remind me of the year we lost every game. We can't just allow God to declare us winner when underneath it all we're still just full of our sin and selfishness and a big loser. God loves us too much to do that. And that's why he gives us purgatory, the beautiful chance to really be made a winner. We're not just dung-covered snow. He's going to say, no, I'm going to transform you into a winner. You did good in life. You fought hard. But you're not ready for the Hall of Fame yet. But don't worry, I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to take the pile of manure, anything that's left, I'm going to make you into real snow, a real beautiful snowbank. You really will be a winner. We're not going to have to go to heaven and feel second best to the saints who we canonize. If we fell a little short in this life but still loved God with all our hearts, God gives us a chance to be a winner. He's got his special kind of training camp, if you will, in purgatory, where we are made into winners. So the Catholic response to this difficulty then of winning, losing, is not to try to blow it away, to pretend that somehow, well, everybody just goes to heaven, everybody's a winner. Think what that would do to life. It would mean that there's really no reason to fight the battle. Why should I get up every day and fight against my sin? Why should I go through the suffering that I go through? Why go through the difficulties of this life if I'm just going to end up in heaven anyway and nothing matters? The fact that we can be a loser makes us want to win all the more. It means life has meaning. The fact that the Royals should have won the World Series and finished a beautiful story would have made a really nice story. But you know what? We were 90 feet short. Didn't quite make it. That means we don't win the World Series. The good news is in the church with God, God says, okay, you were 90 feet short. That's really good. We're going to clean that up. We're going to get you to the point where you are able to be a champion. God tells us plainly, everything in heaven is perfect. He wants us to be perfect. So in this life, that should on the first hand urge us on to truly do that. But then we needn't be like Martin Luther, where we fear that we'll lose our salvation. Rather, we can have surety to know what he says in the gospel. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me. I will not reject anyone who comes to me. The truth is, yes, we can lose in this life. In the end, I think we love sports so much because in life, there is heaven and there is hell in the end, and that's it. There are clear winners and losers. The good news is amidst that drama that adds to life, no one has to be a loser. Everyone really can win the World Series. Because the truth is, God will make us winners. We can all be champions. Today, we look at those who did it in this life, the saints. We honor them. But we also are careful not to forget our brothers and sisters who, maybe not perfect, loved God, truly belonged to Him. We pray for them because, in a beautiful way that God has joined this communion of the saints, we can pray for our departed brothers and sisters in purgatory. Our prayers really can help them. Today, the church gives us this commemoration so that we not forget them, that we not be too quick to just assume they're in heaven, to just declare them winners. If we look at our lives, the lives of our loved ones, we love them. They're good people, but probably not perfect. God loves them enough to make them perfect. We pray today that we would love them enough to pray for them, to assist them, that one day we might all be in heaven, where we will there sing with all the saints in glory and truly share the joy of the Lord, dressed in white robes, washed clean, as we celebrate the great World Series of heaven, the victory celebration of the Lamb.